From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 6th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of Growmark will join us to take up the agricultural energies. In agricultural news, officials in China have declared their nation will continue to seek agricultural self-sufficiency, that in hopes of boosting grain and oilseed outputs over the next 5 years. The United States Congress, upon its return this week, is expected to mark up the Agricultural Appropriations Bill, and the president of the World Bank says the U.S. economy is likely to continue to limp along, but does not think it will slip into a double-dip recession. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast, so stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower in the nearby September wheat at 7.16 and a quarter, down 13 and three quarters. Soft red December at $7.60, 15 and a half cents lower. Next year's July, the harvest month, at $8.11 and a quarter cents, down 11 and a half. September corn futures today, 7.46 and three quarters, down 3.5 cents. December, 7.55 and three quarters, down 4 and a quarter. In the March at 7.68 and a quarter, down 4 cents. May futures 7.75 in the corn pit, down 3.5. July at 7.78 and three quarters, down 3 and a quarter. September up 3 and three quarters at $7.08 and three quarters. And next year's December at 6.65 and three quarters, up 6 and three quarters on the afternoon. September soybeans at $14.13 and a half cents, 22 and a half cents lower. November at 14.22 and a half, down 23 and a quarter. January at 14.32 and a quarter, down 23 and a half cents. July at 14.41 and a half, down 18. And November at 13.86 for next year, a nickel lower on the afternoon. September bean meal today at 3.68.30, down $9.50. September soybean oil at 57.56, down 18 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby October at 116.97 and a half, up $2.17 and a half. December at 118.27 and a half, $1.80 higher. September feeder cattle at 133.80, up $1.15. October at 134.47 and a half, up $1.52 and a half. And October lean hogs today, down $2.45 at 83.35. December at 81.25, down $1.85. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, October contract, $85.96 a barrel, down 49 cents. Ethanol at $2.84, 5 and a quarter cents lower, or rather 5 2/10 of a cent lower. Natural gas at $3.93 and 9 cents, that's up 6 7/10. And October heating oil or diesel fuel at $3 a penny and a tenth, up a penny and 4 tenths on the day. September gold futures at $1,869.90 an ounce, down $3.80, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 163 points lower at this hour at 11,077. The U.S. dollar at 75.93, up 0.82. The CRB index down 2.84 at 335.22. The weather forecast for the two-state region says that this afternoon in the Urbana-Champaign area, actually, we'll have sunny skies, a high near 71 degrees, north-northeast winds at about 16 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 48, north-northeast winds between 7 and 11 miles an hour. And then Wednesday, sunny skies, a high near 74. The winds will remain down to the northeast, at 8 to 17, they'll gust all the way to 25. And Wednesday night, we'll see partly cloudy skies, a low of 55 degrees. Winds out of the north-northwest then at 9 to 11. By the time we get to Thursday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny, a high near 72 degrees, north-northwest to east winds, that is, at 10 to 14. And Thursday night, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 56. On Friday, a 40% chance of showers continues. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 73 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers. For football, mostly cloudy, a low of 56. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 75. Saturday night, cloudy and 58. Sunday, partly sunny and 78 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Don Day.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, as usual, to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Boy, good afternoon, Todd.
Thank you for making your way to Farm Progress Show last week. We had a great week. Heard lots of different opinions about where the marketplace is headed, but things changed quickly, although I'm not sure that things have changed so fast yet. Did the rainfall over the weekend make much of a difference to the marketplace?
Some areas, and it didn't get to some areas like my house. So, you know, it was a good news, bad news sort of situation, and that was sort of forecast for the weekend come in and didn't go as far south as what was looked at. So I think that it was probably a little bit on the positive side as far as the fundamentals went because it didn't cover as much area as was hoping for. We had 2 days with 50% chance of showers, and that's what we got was a 50% chance of showers. So none that fell at our house. So I think that was it. Today was about risk-off day. Where markets are waiting to see if Germany's decision is going to be to support and fill in for the loans over there in the EU again. The crude oil was down drastically. We got down to 83.20 in the October, and we're trading about 85.91 now. So quite a rebound, and that helped bring the corn market back.
Indeed. So what was the push in the crude? Why did it go off so sharply today?
Well, I think, number one, the Dow down, the economy down, the fear that the business atmosphere will not be shipping as much goods, everything going along, and just not the people wanting to buy and bid up the crude oil, figuring as the economies go down, so does shipping.
Two more sets of numbers released for corn and soybeans today. The Allendale Survey of Farmers was finished up. I heard you talking with Dave Dickey about that this morning. We'll have Paul Georgie in a bit, I hope, on this program. They say 147.7 for the corn yield and 40.7 for beans. That would bring in a 12.46 billion bushel crop for corn, 3 billion bushels for soybeans. Informant numbers were out, too. They say 12.466 crop for corn. And again, a 3 billion bushel crop for soybeans. So those numbers are pretty close to each other. Actually, those are the Allendale numbers. I didn't put the Informa numbers in front of me. Maybe I've got those, though.
The Informa numbers, Todd, was 151 bushels on corn, and they were 153 in August. And their B number was 41.5, and they were 41.4 in August that way. So a little higher, but we were expecting them to be a little higher. And that was a little bit bearish to things when they popped out. But if we remember when we were talking about the accuracy of those reports, that the ending number has been closer to Allendale's than the U.S. guess and than Informa's guesstimates during this time of year.
Right.
So,
and the Informa number shows about a 300 million bushel increase over what Allendale says will be total yield. So Allendale at 12.4 billion bushels and Informa number at a 12.7.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that the Allendale numbers are probably pretty much right on. We're hearing some bean yields over an area from about 42 to 55 so far. Very few corn yields over an area, but we are hearing some in central Illinois. And unfortunately, they're right around the 140 mark.
All right, anything else we had to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it for today, Todd.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. A couple of ways you can hear Wayne again, if you'd like, from our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming and our weekend program. It's called Commodity Week. It's posted not long after we air it on our radio stations. You can check out also our mobile analyst portal. It's just a phone number, voicemail, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily, either with the closing or the opening numbers and a bit of analysis. That's at 217-333-3434. You can hear us on the radio, you can hear us on the web, or you can just dial us up on the phone. It's all about the service from willag.org. Now, here's Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, China The world's largest grain consumer and most populous country says it will aim to keep self-sufficiency in grains as its goal in the next 5 years and boost output ranging from grains to oilseed crops. In its five-year plan on agriculture, China's government says the country would do its best to maintain farmland from shrinking too much, or more than 106.7 million hectares by 2015. And it will take grain security as the top priority to try to produce enough for its 1.3 billion people. China, the world's largest importer of cotton and soybeans, has since 2010 increased imports of sugar, corn, and meat after domestic production failed to keep up with consumption growth as millions of farmers moved to cities to work and became consumers instead of producers. Congress returns from its August recess this week with a significant amount of appropriations work that it needs to complete before the end of the month, including the spending measure for agriculture. Tomorrow, the full Senate Appropriations Committee is expected to mark up not only the agriculture appropriations bill, but also similar legislation covering energy and water development and homeland security. The House Appropriations Committee has approved 9 of the 12 bills for fiscal year 2012, 6 of which also have passed the full House, including agriculture. World Bank President Robert Zoellick says that the U.S. economy will likely limp along with slow growth and high unemployment, but avoid a recession. Zoellick says, quote, "I don't believe the U.S. and the world will go into a double dip, but there is a high degree of uncertainty. Events in the Eurozone can have ripple effects all around the world." Zoellick said that European countries may need to deepen fiscal integration, implying governments should sacrifice some control over their budgets so spending policies can be coordinated among countries using the euro. The Assistant General Director of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says there will be no green economy without green agriculture. Alexander Mueller says that lawmakers need to create a global system to make agriculture more environmentally friendly while also more productive. In a joint report with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development to be presented to the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development next year, the FAO recommended that food production should be weaned off fossil fuels by encouraging more environmentally friendly growing practices through subsidies programs. The report adds that subsidies encouraging the use of agricultural commodities to make biofuels should be ended.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at willag.org, willag.org. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at their survey just released is Paul Georgie of Allendale. Paul, thanks for being with us last week at Farm Progress Show and for taking time to go through your survey today. You made a survey of farmers in 24 states. Tell me about the survey, the background, and what the numbers look like.
Well, good afternoon, and it certainly is a pleasure being with you this afternoon and sharing these numbers. First of all, we want to thank all the producers that participated. We had the record number of surveys in this year, so hopefully that makes the numbers even more accurate. But what the survey said, producers are expecting 147.7 bushel an acre as a national average, which is about a 12.466 billion crop. And in soybeans, 40.7 bushel an acre, which is just over a 3 billion bushel crop. Some of the highlights of the report is we did special work on Illinois this year simply because it is the known as the breadbasket of the corn production. And so we looked at the numbers that we got in, hoping that they weren't skewed, and we had some good variation in numbers throughout the state. And we realized that the Midwest, counties like Champaign, Vermilion County, actually had the greatest percent loss of all the areas that we've surveyed. They had up to a 17% loss, and actually the lowest yield on a percentage basis came in there at 142 bushel an acre, which normally in Champaign and Vermilion counties are going to produce 200 plus bushel an acre as a norm. So that was significant. The state of Illinois itself had the USDA in August actually put the yield at 170 bushel an acre for Illinois. With the numbers that we've got, we're putting it at 150 bushel an acre, and that's down about 12%. With the central part of the of Illinois, where it's been the driest, down anywhere from 16 to 17% on yield in corn. So those are some of the highlights. The other couple other things that I might add here is that we had the largest yield increase coming from the state of North Dakota. And the big question there is, are we going to get it harvested? Because the maturity on that is behind, but the producers up there are the most optimistic.
Yeah, and Iowa, did you see a big change in their number from USDA to your number?
Iowa did have a drop in yield. It wasn't all that much different. I know the I don't have that number in front of me specifically, but in general, Illinois was the biggest drop. And of all the states that we surveyed, there was only one state that showed an increase from the August number put out by the USDA, and that was in North Dakota.
Any surprises in the beans from the survey?
No, they came in pretty close to what the USDA had and what producers are thinking. I guess the number one question that the soybean producer has, will he get some rain to fill these beans? I know I've talked to some producers this morning that didn't get any rain over the weekend, and they said, man, we've got bean that could produce a lot of beans, but we need some rain pretty much immediately in order to achieve that even 40 bushel an acre. Another highlight on the stocks to usage, that first thing you would say, well, with that low a number, man, we got to go a lot higher in price. Well, we did some comparison here, and the stocks to usage ratio is going to be about 4.4%. We're going to lose about 460 million bushel, or 460 million bushel in production, but a lot of that's going to be lost in demand, we believe anyway, because it'll take about 70% of the demand loss will be adjusted for the yield loss, but yet it still gives us 570 million bushel carryover. Supplies are going to be tight, and from an economic value, we think prices should go to 8 to 8.20 in the corn, at least, just from a fundamental perspective.
How accurate is your report generally?
It has been extremely accurate, less than 1% off from what the final numbers are. The biggest question is, will the USDA adjust these numbers as much as the producers think they should be adjusted on this next report? And that remains to be seen, but the way the USDA is taking a much more active and proactive approach on giving accurate numbers and adjustments immediately, we think they could see a pretty good adjustment here on this coming up report on Monday morning.
Paul, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Georgie is with Allendale. You can visit them online at allendaleinc.org or .com, and he comes to us from McHenry, Illinois. They just finished up a 24-state survey of farmers to find out what they were thinking about their coming yields this fall.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets, Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of things happening. Let's start with the market in New York and the crude oil, which really kind of made a big dip today and then managed to come back.
It sure did. We had some exciting trade today because the stock market overseas started our stock market lower. The Dow was down over 200 points there for a while. It's still down pretty sharply, but crude oil then was opened about $2 or $2.50 lower, and then it came back here late in the session, like you mentioned, only ended 43 cents lower. Part of that was based on the London crude. The big news here in the market today seemed to be based coming out of London, where London crude oil actually ended like $2.50 higher. There's some production problems, they say, over in the North Sea, where a lot of the oil production over around Europe is comes from. And so that market actually closed $2.50 higher, whilst our New York crude ended about 43 cents lower. And that brought the products up well off the lows, too, where our diesel fuel came back higher to actually close a penny or two higher. And gasoline was still about a penny and a half lower on the close. But a lot of action, a lot of buying occurred after that real weak open here today. So we got a lot of action today. We'll see what happens now for the rest of the week.
Do you think demand or that buying was the right thing to do? And is this a place for producers to lock in some of their fall needs? And I suppose that's up front. They probably have done that at a couple of points when you asked, but or when I asked, and you said, yes, this is the place. But what do you think today?
Well, on these dips, yes. On these dips, if they have any more remaining gallons to secure for fall, it is the time to do it, because history suggests that the fuel markets tend to rally out into fall from these price levels. However, the better buying opportunity for next year tends to come in that Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day time period. It works about 7 or 8 years out of 10 to buy fuel for the next year in that Thanksgiving to Valentine period. So any buying they would do here now on these price dips should be just for their fall needs, and they should hold off on the next year needs until that early winter time period, and then start scaling into purchases at that time.
That's part of your seasonal studies, right?
That's right. That's right. And again, those work about 7 or 8 years. It'll work out of 10. So it doesn't work every year. But if you're a betting person, you can easily see that 70 or 80% of the time you'll be right by buying in those seasonal periods of the year.
Have you been watching prices of fertilizer as well?
Fertilizer prices, I have not. I have not been watching those as much. Our agronomy folks watch those a great deal. I'll tell you what, just watching the energy markets themselves can be challenging in itself, really.
I was pretty certain that you didn't follow the fertilizers closely, but I thought I'd better ask because it's that time of year.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. Harry Cooney, he's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And if you'd like to hear him, you can always do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
It's National Coffee Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1620, the Pilgrims set sail from England aboard the Mayflower. Initially, the trip went smoothly, but underway, they were met with strong winds and storms. One of those caused a main beam to crack, and although they were more than halfway to the destination, the possibility of turning back was considered. But using a great iron screw, probably a jack that was used for house construction, brought along by the colonists, they repaired the ship enough to continue on to the New World. In 1892, John Froelich made the first gasoline-powered tractor. It was sent to Langford, South Dakota, which lacked easy access to a wood or coal supply for steam-powered units. A 16-horsepower machine was geared for both forward and reverse motion. It was powered by a Van Dusen vertical single-cylinder gasoline engine mounted on wooden beams upon a Robinson running gear. And in 1899, Carnation began production of evaporated milk. Elbridge Stewart and a fellow business partner founded the Pacific Coast Condensed Milk Company in Kent, Washington. It was based solely on the relatively new process of evaporation. As sales began to grow, Stewart searched for a brand name for his product. While walking in downtown Seattle, he passed a tobacco shop window with cigars on display around a sign proclaiming their name, Carnation. The company was renamed the Carnation Evaporated Milk Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to look at the agricultural weather forecast. Let's start with the Midwest first, please.
Well, it's going to be a pattern that in the next week to 10 days is going to be fairly active. Most of at least the southern, central, and eastern Corn Belt areas, Indiana, Ohio, getting into Kentucky, southern Michigan, and eastern Illinois, those areas are going to have the best chances for precipitation over the course of the next week to 10 days. And while we don't expect anything heavy, it'll be enough to keep things wet in those states. And temperatures all across the Midwest going to be averaging a bit below normal.
And that's going to cause a few folks to look out and say, well, when's that first frost coming? I guess it is the first real month of the fall. Do you have an idea?
Well, right now, I don't see it as cold enough, at least to penetrate into the Corn Belt states. Certainly, as you get into northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, those northern Great Lakes states, even the Dakotas, there's going to be a pretty good cold front moving in late this weekend and early next week. But I don't see that frost or freeze concern yet reaching the Midwest. We're just going to be seeing temperatures averaging about 5 to 10 degrees below normal. And I think the bigger concern, I guess, will be for any crops that need some further development, as we won't be picking up many heat units over the next week or so.
What are the high temperatures and low temperatures for the time period?
Well, we're looking at temperatures that will be mostly 70s and 80s, and temperatures at night that will be down in the 50s, even a few nights in the upper 40s with that cold front early next week.
It sounds very comfortable for us. Not as nice for the crop, but we'll take it at this point, I think.
Yeah, it does make for some very comfortable temperatures, but for those needing heat, we're not seeing that.
Turn your attention to China. They've got a corn crop that's headed to harvest.
Well, it looks a little wet. China's going to be pretty stormy, so there may be some harvest delays or concerns, as some shower and thunderstorm activity will be widespread over most of the Asian continent, including China. Temperatures there are going to be averaging a little below normal as well.
Time of year to start thinking about South America and planting season there. How's it setting up?
Well, pretty dry. There's no really good widespread precipitation in the forecast in the short term for Brazil or Argentina. Now, there's a hint of maybe some better rain chances, mainly for Argentina next week. But right now, it looks to be drier than normal over most of South America.
And in Australia for their wheat crop, please.
Well, it looks like the only precipitation in Australia will be in the far east and southeast provinces. Those areas will get a little bit of precipitation in the short term. Otherwise, most of Australia looking dry, although not necessarily terribly warm. Most of Australia going to be experiencing below normal temperatures.
Thank you so much for being with us, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.